According to the American Association of Orthodontists, more than 1 million adults are undergoing orthodontic treatment in this country, and that number is growing daily. That's one of the things we'll be talking about today with Dr. Lowell Lackritz of Madison. He's been a regular guest on our show for many years now. As we visit with him about preventing and treating dental disease, I hope you'll join in with your questions. The number to call if you're in the Madison area is 263-1890, 263-1890, and anywhere else it's toll-free at 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234. Give us a call with your questions and your comments. Dr. Lowell Lackritz, welcome back. Good to have you with us.
Good to be here, Larry.
I really appreciate it. As we talk about orthodontic treatment, the most popular treatment item for adults are the ceramic braces and Invisalign, I believe it's called.
Right.
Too. The clear, the invisible braces, they cost about $5,000 or
yep,
so.
Yep, yep, yep.
Are they good things?
Well, there's a bit of controversy about Invisalign. It's a method that doesn't use the standard braces that you see on people with the little brackets and the wires. What it does is they create a model of the teeth, and then the teeth are adjusted on the model to the desired position, and a mouth guard device is created. And the patient wears this mouth guard device, and the pressure created by it moves the teeth. The problem with it is that you have to replace these mouth guard things every time the teeth move a little bit.
Oh.
And it is a bit of a hassle, but it does eliminate the necessity of wearing the actual brackets and wires that are commonplace. As I said, there's a bit of controversy. There are some experts who will say, well, it's not worth the effort. It doesn't work as well. You don't have the control because basically the effort is placed in the hand of the patient. Whereas with the wires and brackets, that's the orthodontist who controls that.
Yeah.
So there's some question as to whether or not it's as efficacious as the other types.
And I suppose it varies a little bit, how often you have to replace these depending on the individual.
Right, and you also have to choose carefully the situation because someone whose teeth are really badly aligned may not get a real successful result with Invisalign. Mm-hmm. It's more of doing minor adjustment or some, slight cosmetic adjustment that people would require. It's very handy for that.
Okay. Titanium is a metal we use in everything now, from jet engines to eyeglass frames, and it has a new role in it's a crucial component of two toothbrushes. One of the brushes no longer uses toothpaste. Instead, it uses a core of titanium dioxide.
Well, titanium is a metal that's used, as you said, in everything from the aircraft industry to automobiles and so forth. And, it's considered somewhat of a miracle metal because it's much lighter weight than steel and has the strength of steel. But let me say this, the oral health industry is a multi-billion-dollar industry in the United States every year. And there's a huge amount of competition between companies that manufacture toothbrushes, mm-hmm. toothpastes, other types of oral health care products, and they're constantly trying to get an edge on the competition. So, before someone goes out and rushes out and buys a titanium toothbrush, I would wait to see the results of some long-term use on these things before I would recommend them to a patient. It's just, a metal bristle on a toothbrush doesn't sound real good to me yet, unless they can prove to me by research that it doesn't do any harm.
Okay.
So I would hold off on these things until there's, the FDA does not require testing on some of these oral health products like it does for drugs.
Okay.
And so a lot of these things are brought out on the market without sufficient or adequate or enough testing. So yeah. I would wait and see what the results are of what happens with these things in the future.
All right. Let's go to Robin in Arena now. Robin, hi. Thanks for calling.
Hello. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I have two questions. One is about myself and one is my son. For myself, I have multiple fillings in my teeth, and I was told at my last visit that one of them is starting to disintegrate a bit, and the dentist thought the only alternative was to do a crown. And my question is, does that have to be a crown, or why can't that just be replaced with another filling? And
okay.
My second question has to do with my son, who has autism and is terrified of dental office and has never been to a dentist. And he has a permanent tooth coming in on the lingual aspect of his mouth, and the baby tooth is not budging.
Oh.
Okay, two questions that are not too difficult to answer. With regard to your own tooth, which the dentist has recommended a crown for, if a tooth has enough large filling in it and has weakened walls and perhaps is deteriorating or maybe has a little decay around the edges, by the time this filling is removed and it's proven that there's no decay and you're on sound tooth structure, the walls of that tooth may be so thin that they're vulnerable to fracture. And this is probably why your dentist is recommending a crown, because a crown will seal that tooth up sort of in a container, which the crown is, and strengthen it and have it function for years and years thereafter without any problems whatsoever. So, you know, generally speaking, if he recommends a crown, there's probably a good reason, but there certainly is no reason why you can't ask him, why do you recommend this?
Yeah.
And get an answer that way so that you are satisfied that it is a requirement that would help you and not be just an added expense to you. Now, regarding your son, first of all, how old is he?
Eight.
He's eight, and he still has a lower baby tooth that is preventing...
Femora, yeah.
Pardon me? That is preventing the permanent tooth from moving into its proper position.
Correct.
And because of his autism, he's very afraid of going to the dentist.
Absolutely.
Okay, well, where are you located?
Arena.
Okay, you're not too far from Madison. So there are some very excellent pediatric dentists in Madison who deal with children of all types, handicapped kids, kids with autism, kids with problems that more or less prevent them from seeking regular dental care. I would suggest taking your son to one of these pediatric specialist dentists. I think that basically their approach to treatment with children who have problems is such that they could probably get something done. If he should need extensive dental care for any reason whatsoever, he can be taken into a situation where, like a hospital situation, where he could be put under with sedative drugs and so forth and get all the dental work done at one time, and then he's finished and done with it. But I would certainly suggest using a pediatric dentist to evaluate your son.
So the fact that it's been almost 7 months now and neither tooth has budged, I should definitely...
Right. If the primary tooth or the baby tooth is not really loose at all yet, it's probably time to get it looked at. He might have to have it removed, which, you know, we would not like to see have happen, but, you know, maybe it's necessary. But it might be enough if an X-ray was taken to see how much of the tooth has disintegrated already and whether it's going to be coming out very soon. Normally, when these baby teeth are lost, the permanent tooth moves right into the position due to the pressure of the tongue on the backside of the tooth. So it'll correct itself once that baby tooth is gone.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Yeah,
you're
thanks.
Welcome.
Thanks, Robin. Sheila in Janesville, it's your turn now. Hi, Sheila.
Hello. I'm traveling on the road, so I'm actually from Kentucky.
Okay.
I'm glad to talk to you. I have two questions. I had radiation done because I had head and neck cancer a couple of years ago. I used to have really good teeth. I'm having a lot of dental problems now because I don't produce enough saliva. I'm always working for solutions with my dentist of, trying to do things, but I'm wondering if you have any suggestions about that. My second question is, again, you know, I'm going to have the million-dollar mouth as it is already because I don't have dental insurance and I'm having all this constant dental work done. I used to have perfect bite. As I'm getting older, my bite is shifting. I don't feel like I need to do braces, but I was wondering if there is some type of apparatus or something that I could be using to keep my teeth from shifting any farther than what they're doing.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Okay, I'll answer your questions. As far as the results of your radiation therapy, it does have a tendency to disable the salivary glands a little bit and reduce the amount of saliva produced. There are several saliva substitutes on the market. They're usually bought over the counter in pharmacies. One goes by the name of Salivart. There are several other brands as well. These can be used as a saliva substitute to keep the mouth moist. Some of them come in a form where with an eyedropper that you can put a few drops in your mouth. Others have spray little attachments where you spray a little cup, two or three drops in your mouth, or two or three sprays. And this will help to keep the mouth moist and keep the acid balance within the mouth correct, just as your natural saliva will do. So I would suggest trying that. And now going to your bite problem, where there is excessive wear and bite shifting, this can be controlled somewhat by several different types of mouth guards that can be built by a dentist. They take an impression of your teeth and make a very thin, flexible, sometimes rigid mouth guard. It depends on the circumstances, and the dentist would have to make a decision as to what type of mouth guard he would use. But this tends to stabilize the bite and to prevent tooth shifting and tooth wear. So that would be another alternative for you.
Okay. Now, with that, would I go and see an orthodontist? I've discussed this with my dentist, and I guess he just feels I'm lucky that I was able to maintain my teeth after my treatment at
mm-hmm.
all.
Mm-hmm.
So, but like I said, especially with the amount of money I'm now getting invested in my mouth.
Right.
Would I need to see another dentist, or should I try and just get a referral to an orthodontist?
Well, if your family dentist mm-hmm. feels comfortable making these types of mouth guards, there's no reason why he can't do it. Some dentists do a lot of them. Some do very few of them and don't have the experience or knowledge as to how they should be constructed. So if he feels as though he's not the one to do it for you, then possibly going to an orthodontist or to a prosthodontist, a dental specialist in the reconstruction of badly destroyed dentistry. One of those would be helpful.
Sure.
Okay. And and it doesn't matter, because now I'm having all this crown work and stuff done. So that doesn't affect any of these I'll call them mouth appliances.
No, if you are, I certainly wouldn't make the mouth appliance until you've got all the crown work done, because it's got to be an accurate fitting thing. So if your teeth are going to be changed with new crowns and so forth, you'd want to wait to get the bite control device until after you've had the work done. And by the way, if you're having a lot of crowns made, the dentist is going to have to reestablish a proper bite with these crowns anyway, so that may solve your problem.
Dr. Lowell Lackritz, our guest here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Talking now about preventing and treating dental disease with Dr. Lowell Lackritz of Madison. Larry Mueller here, happy to have you listening in. If you have a question about your dental health, give us a call. Here's the number, 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234. If you're in the Madison area, reach us at 263-1890, 263-1890. Give us a call. Email us at talk@wpr.org. We did have an email from Steve in Milwaukee, Lowell, and the question is, when is bone grafting sometimes needed prior to an implant? How long does it take, and how is it done, and are there different methods of doing it?
Yes, it is done on a basis of what type of bone structure is available to receive the implant. You have to have an adequate amount of basically jawbone there mm-hmm. to receive the implant and have the implant integrate into the bone. And if there isn't enough, the grafting procedures are very common today in those instances. There's a couple ways of doing it. They can use cadaver bone. They can use treated bovine bone. Mm. And there are also some artificial bone substitutes that have the components of bone within them. One of the main components of bone is hydroxyapatite, and these substances are put together in kind of a granular or powder form and are placed around the area where the implant is to be inserted.
Yeah.
And any of these methods take time to heal over and produce the bone that's desired. So there is a time period, a time lag between the time you have this surgical procedure to place the graft, as it were, mm-hmm. and the actual placement of the implant. So that is, of course, up to the person who's doing the procedure, the oral surgeon or whoever it is who's doing it. Periodontists do this as well as oral surgeons. So it's a matter of just getting it done and then waiting a sufficient amount of time to let the bone grow in so that the implant can be placed. It's a long-term procedure because once the implant is placed, then you have to wait for the implant to solidify.
Uh-huh.
So it could take several months before, you know, up to maybe 6 or 7 months, 8 months before the actual tooth can be replaced. But it's an excellent replacement procedure.
Works well. Okay,
yes,
Matt,
it does.
Matt in Whitewater, your turn. Hi, Matt.
Hi. I was wondering, I have, if I use toothpaste with SLS in it, it gives me canker sores. And the toothpaste that don't have SLS in them are more expensive. So I was wondering if there's any problem with permanently using baking soda for toothpaste.
Not at all. It's perfectly safe, and it was used for years and years. In fact, they still make toothpaste with baking soda in it. So it's perfectly safe to use baking soda as a dentifrice.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thanks a lot for calling. I've got an email from Linda. My 27-year-old son is clicking in his jaw and pain in his face. He's had a CAT scan, seen an ear, nose, and throat specialist, a dentist who said he should go to a pain clinic. Seems like no one wants to deal with the problem. He did have braces when he was younger, however, would not wear his appliance for 2 years, after which, you know, which was recommended. You know, he'd been a lot of places. She's wondering, where do we go from here?
Well, unfortunately, in situations that you're describing, that happens a lot, where people will go from specialist to specialist to specialist, and they don't get a definitive answer. A place like the University of Wisconsin Pain Clinic mm-hmm. is an excellent choice because there are specialists of various different specialties involved in the pain clinic, including dental. Mm-hmm. And they will basically do a overall definitive examination of the situation and decide what the best treatment is. Probably your son's problem goes back to the orthodontist's of the braces he was wearing and didn't follow up with the appliance that he was supposed to wear for 2 years, because those appliances are designed to stabilize the teeth after they've been moved and shifted during orthodontic treatment. And when you don't wear it, guess what happens? They go back to where they were originally. And so his bite has probably been corrupted over the years, and as a result, he's getting temporomandibular joint dysfunction, which is causing the clicking and the pain. There are a lot of different ways of treating this, which I really can't go into, you know, in the short time we have here.
Yeah.
But I would certainly suggest going to a pain clinic such as might be at the University of Wisconsin or the Medical College of Wisconsin in Milwaukee. They have one too, and whichever is most convenient for you. And you get this multidisciplinary approach to the problem, which I think would be very, very helpful.
Yeah, I would agree. And we've had people on from the UW Pain Clinic, and there's a great staff, great group of people.
Excellent. They do excellent work.
Let's go to Lynette and Hubertus next. Lynette, hi to you.
Good afternoon. I have a question regarding pre-brushing rinse. I just used yesterday a store brand of a pre-brush rinse, and I'm wondering if I may have left it in too long. It says to leave it in for a minute and then brush afterwards, but today my mouth feels
fire?
It's been yes.
Well,
it feels like the skin has almost been in the inside of my mouth. It's been
okay. You know, the first thing I would say is stop using it.
Yes, for sure.
Yeah, because it could be that you're just having some kind of a reaction to one of the components in there. And some people do react to these products in that fashion. So basically, my own feeling is a pre-brushing rinse is not as effective as an after-brushing rinse. with fluoride and so forth in it. But they are popular, and some people do benefit from them. But if you're getting this type of reaction from it, it's not something that you should continue using, and try to find something alternatively.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thanks very much. What would be the purpose of a pre-brush rinse?
They are designed to loosen plaque.
Oh.
The idea would be to loosen up the plaque and to also to lower the bacterial count within the mouth, which would help to prevent additional plaque formation or slow down plaque formation. Yeah. That's the principle involved.
Okay. Shelley in Wisconsin Rapids, we'll turn to you now. Hi, Shelley.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
My question is about unnecessary dental work and if there's any recourse. My son is a college student in southern United States and was home and had some dental work done and then lost a filling and went to a dentist and ended up having, you know, to replace the filling, but ended up having a full set of x-rays, and then they proceeded to tell me that he needed about $1,600 worth of dental work. You know, and I did get almost a $600 bill for just replacing this filling. I don't recall exactly what else they did, but I feel like I was kind of taken advantage of, or he was, being a college student and out of state.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any agency that I can, you know, write a complaint to?
Well, being that it's out of state, you have a problem. You can probably write to the licensing board of that state. Send them a letter explaining the circumstances, and if they operate much like the one in Wisconsin, they will investigate the situation. They will ask for evidence and so forth. Obviously, the dentist in the South, if your son had recently been to the dentist here, he could have gotten recent x-rays and not, you know, ask them to be sent. He would not have had to charge him. And many offices will charge $150, $175 for a new set of x-rays.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's just a matter of kind of piling on unnecessarily. Although, you know, he's certainly within his professional rights and opinion to ask for these things because he needs x-rays in order to make a diagnosis properly. But whether or not it was sort of over the top is questionable. But I would certainly find out the address of the licensing board within that state and perhaps their email address, and you could email them or either write them a letter, you know, registered mail, certified with return receipts, make sure they get it. And follow it up from there. That's really your only recourse, being in another state like that.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thanks a lot for calling. And let's go to Robert in Coloma next. Robert, hello.
Hello. Hello to both of you. I have a question regarding tartar buildup, mainly on the inside of my lower teeth. I brush vigorously, but it does not seem to help much. I came across some tartar control toothpaste and started using it after a professional cleaning. Is this an effective product?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. It doesn't eliminate the tartar, but it will slow down its formation. these toothpastes do contain materials which affect the deposition of tartar on the teeth. And the only other alternative is to just get your teeth cleaned more frequently.
Yeah,
there are people who really need to get that done every 90 days.
Yeah,
as opposed to just twice a year, and so. But using a tartar reduction type toothpaste does help.
It
won't eliminate it, but it'll help.
All right, thanks, Robert, for calling. Appreciate it. And we have some open lines again. You can join us at 1-800-642-1234, or in the Madison area, reach us at 263-1890. We'll get you on pretty quickly. Helen in Green Bay, your turn. Hi, Helen.
Oh, hi there. This is just a comment about, I'm sitting in the dentist chair, and the doctor is, he puts the gloves on. Now, is that to protect himself, which I think he'll say, but he'll say also that it's to protect me too. But then he opens up all these drawers and then maybe talks to somebody in the doorway. And I don't know if he's, I can't see that, so I don't know if he's shaking hands with him or what. But anyway, then he comes to me and brings down the light. And so that's my comment. I was just wondering.
Yeah.
Okay. You're very observant about that. And in fact, you're absolutely correct. if the dentist is using the standard protective type devices such as gloves, mask, gown, so forth and so on, if he walks away from that chair and does something else with those gloves on, excuse me, when he comes back, he should put on a fresh pair of gloves. There's no question about it. That's according to the Center for Disease Control and the recommendations that they have for disease control. The whole purpose of these materials and gloves and masks and so forth is to prevent the transmission of disease, bacteria, whatever. It became extremely, extremely important, of course, with the onset of AIDS.
Yes.
And, you know, I'm old enough so that I go way back in dentistry. And when I first started out, nobody wore gloves because we had no real concern about these things. But as time went on and some of these very virulent and dangerous diseases approached, we were told to wear gloves, and we did.
Yeah. Thank you, Helen. Thanks very much for calling. And so tell your dentist, if he goes away, tell him to change his gloves.
You have every right to do that. And I would certainly, you know, be assertive about it.
Yeah. John in Green Bay, your turn now. Hi, John.
Hi. I'm calling with questions regarding the safety of fluoride. I listen to a lot of, like, internet radio stations that talk about, you know, things like how dangerous and poisonous fluoride is. And I'm just curious if it's really a safe product to use in dentistry, like for, I guess, fighting tooth decay.
Well, since fluoride has been added to public water supply since 1951, and it's got that kind of record, and there are absolutely no scientific studies that have said there's anything detrimental about having fluoride in the water supply or in toothpastes. Many of these things you see on the internet are all anecdotal, and people who have other agendas, basically. I've heard everything from states' rights to, to political reasons for eliminating fluoride and the fact that, you know, that they put it in rat poison and things like that. But, you know, the amounts that you're getting in your water supply and in your toothpaste are designed to prevent cavities. That's purely what it's designed to do. And it works. So, you know, I would not.
And it's been studied since the 50s.
Oh, since the 50s. I mean, it's just the proofs of its efficacy is just, you know, there's no question about it. So this does come up from time to time, and we in the dental profession get kind of adamant about this because we know what the benefits are, and we see what the benefits are, and the research shows what the benefits are. So any of these things that you hear about how poisonous it is or anything else is pure hogwash.
Well, can I follow up with a
sure.
question? You do see on the brands of, let's say, standard grocery store toothpaste varieties that do say, you know, do not swallow.
Yes. I was going to bring that up next about swallowing it. That is true, particularly with children. If you swallow the toothpaste, and it's always recommended if you use a fluoride toothpaste with a child to use a pea-sized amount of toothpaste. So in case they do accidentally swallow some of it, it's not going to hurt them. But everything in moderation is the key here. If you drink too much water, you can harm yourself. Mm-hmm. You know, even distilled water, you can damage your body. And so you have to be a little concerned about the amount that is ingested. But other than applying it to the teeth and using it in the water supply, which is such a small amount, it's really harmless.
All right. Thank you for calling, John. Julie in Manitowoc, you're next. Hi, Julie.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I have a question about a chipped tooth. I chipped my tooth trying to fix my 3-year-old stuffed blue lizard with a needle. And I'm just wondering, is that something that I should definitely have a dentist look at?
A front tooth?
No, it's one of the molars.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, if it's a really good-sized piece of tooth that broke off, you probably should have something done with it. If it's a little tiny chip, it probably isn't going to do an awful lot of harm. But it might not be a bad idea to go and have your dentist take a look at it and get a recommendation from him.
Okay. Thanks, Julie.
Thank you.
Yep, thanks for calling.
In situations like that, where depending on where the chip part is, it could, you know, lead to decay or something like that. So it should be checked out.
Frank and Mosini, your turn now. Hi, Frank.
Hello.
What can we do for you?
Okay, I recently been having trouble with a lower back tooth. When I bite on it, it's painful, and it's sensitive to heat. Went to the dentist, and he said that the nerve is dying and suggested a root canal.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now, the pain seems to be lessening somewhat, and what I'm wondering is, when this happens, do I indeed need to have a root canal, or will this kind of go away and I'll be okay?
It can go away and come back on a irregular basis. If generally speaking, when a tooth is sensitive to biting pressure and sensitive to heat, it does mean that there has been some damage done to the nerve of the tooth, and probably the nerve is dying or is dead. And if that occurs, sometimes they can sit like that pain-free and symptom-free for a long time, but then suddenly they'll flare up. And you get a real blazing toothache or swelling or infection. And so his recommendation of a root canal is probably very valid. And I would certainly go to, if your dentist doesn't do the root canals himself, seek out a root canal specialist and get it done.
Yep. Good luck. Thank you for calling. Jim and Ashland, your turn now. Hi, Jim.
How are you doing, guys?
Good.
I got a question for you. 1969, I saw a documentary. They used to get these newsreels out. Where they'd have, it was about lasers. They would test lasers and see what they could do with them. I saw a group of dentists lasering teeth. What they said was they could make a tooth as white as they wanted, harder than a diamond, never decay, and they could use it on teeth that already were decayed, and they could make them as white as they wanted. I asked my dentist about it maybe 10 years ago for my son, and he never heard of it. Do you know anything about it?
Well, there has been increasing use of lasers in dentistry over the years. Going back to 1969, you know, they had a lot of hopeful thoughts about it, but they didn't really have lasers that were designed for that specific purpose. Over these last 30 or 40 odd years, the lasers have been developed and perfected to the point where there are a lot of uses for it in dentistry. Specialists in gum diseases, periodontists, use lasers sometimes to treat the gums. There are some lasers which can be used to excavate small cavities and thereby eliminate the necessity for using local anesthetics or getting a shot in your jaw for pain control. So there are a lot of uses for lasers today, even in the whitening or the bleaching of teeth. Certain types of bleaching compounds are applied to the teeth, and then you zap this with the laser, and it instantly changes the color of the tooth or within a matter of a couple minutes or whatever. And so there are a lot of different uses. The problem with using the laser in dentistry is they're very expensive. And, you know, your average general practicing dentist doesn't want to spend $60,000 or $70,000 for a laser to occasionally whiten a tooth. It's not cost effective. So many dentists don't pay a lot of attention to it. So, but it is available, and a lot of offices are using lasers. So, you know, if you're interested in following that up, you could probably find a dentist in your area who does use it.
What about hardening of the teeth? That struck me as...
Well, yeah, that was kind of wishful thinking.
Yeah, that was kind of wishful thinking.
Right.
All right, thank you for calling. Marsha in Fort Atkinson, hello.
As more and more becomes known about the effects of dental care on general health and cardiac health and things like that, what are those that are on fixed and low incomes and the uninsured? How are they? Are there efforts out there for pro bono work by dentists or special low-income clinics?
There are. Have sprouted up throughout the state of Wisconsin. There are quite a few or several low-income or free clinics for dental care. Most of the general health problems that can be traced or complicated by poor dental health have to do with the soft tissues, the gums, and so forth. It's very imperative that people take good care of their gums and get their teeth cleaned on a reasonably regular basis, do excellent brushing and flossing. Mm-hmm. If you keep your gums healthy, this eliminates that particular cause factor for cardiac disease or any other type of disease factor. There are, as research goes on, there are so many different links from the bacteria that grow in the mouth on a regular basis and are perfectly happy to live in the mouth, but they don't. But the body doesn't like them in other areas. So when these bacteria escape into the bloodstream and get into the other parts of the body, they can cause havoc. So basically, taking good care of your teeth, brushing properly, cleaning your teeth is the best preventive to any type of disease as is related to dental bacteria within the mouth.
And thank you, Marcia, very much for calling. And Dr. Lakritz, thank you. The time flew by.
You mean we're done already?
Yeah, we're done already.
Oh, okay.
We'll get you back, though, in a month or so, and we'll do this again.
You bet. Thanks.
Thanks very much. Dr. Lowell Lakritz, our guest of Madison. He's been a guest for a long time, and it's always fun to have him on talking about treating dental disease. And he'll be back, and we'll talk some more with him. Coming up tomorrow, tomorrow's Friday, and that means another edition of Garden Talk. We sometimes talk about landscaping, and tomorrow we'll talk about birdscaping in Wisconsin and the Midwest with Mariette Nowak of East Troy, Wisconsin. Stay with us. Lots in store on the Ideas Network.